Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Wake up, everybody. If J. Will is awake, you can get up too. Oh, Duke, they didn't have to win that game. That wasn't a game they had to win, Jay, Key. That was a game they won, though.
Yeah, that is
Key,
true.
Key, I'm stressed. I was stressed, Key. If you could have seen me last night, I was pacing, walking. I was in the dead sweat, armpits all sweaty. That's where I was at last night. That's the kind of mindset I was in last night.
You were nervous? Why were you nervous?
Wow.
You originally said that Duke didn't have an opportunity or chance. Now they're in the Elite Eight, buddy.
First off, I don't like that you use your Coach K voice. And every time I hear Coach K talk, I just see you and I hear your voice. It's really annoying for me now. But I have to tell you, though, Max and Key, 3 games ago, man, I would have told you there was no way in hell this team was even going to get to the second weekend. Like, no way they would get to the second weekend. Thought they would lose to Michigan State. I remember talking to Trajan and Ellen Brand and be like, man, we're not that good. Like, this is going to be so disappointing for Coach K's last run. Hear me when I say this. This team can win a national championship. I have never once thought this entire season that I would hear myself say Duke can win a national championship. Like, the way they've handled the last 2 games down the stretch, you talk about their last game, Michigan State being down 5 or 6 points with 3 minutes left to go in the game. I was like, this is game-winning time. What are we going to do? Jeremy Roach stepped up. And then even again last night, Texas Tech, grown-ass men. Like, you're playing against men who are physical, going to zone in the second half. 3 minutes to go left in the game, Jeremy Roach again. Paolo Bencaro stepped up. This team can win a championship. I never thought I would hear myself say that this year on Coach K's last hurrah.
Well, Jay, you've talked about it in the past when you said you need gritty guard play, right? Leadership from the guard position. You've talked about how for the regular season, when you take over the point for Krzyzewski, you've got a lot to learn. It's not natural at first. But Roach looks like he's in a rhythm now, and Coach K addressed the point about the team and the process at the postgame presser.
God bless them. What a great group these kids. They've grown up so much in the last 12 days. It's such a joy. It's an amazing thing.
It is. It actually is. And when you talk about like a guy like Jeremy Roach knocking down 15 points, especially those two big jumpers late in the game. When I watch this college basketball, much like the pros for me, I like watching the second half and late into the game because that's really when I know what a team is all about, because you see the tenacity, the grit, the grind, the hustle, all of the things down the stretch that Duke put together against Texas Tech is the reason that they are now moving on, Jay.
Key, if you could see me last night, I know there's a meme all over the internet of me when we're losing to North Carolina because I'm sitting there saying, timeout, 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 because North Carolina was like an 11-0 run. I'm yelling at the TV screen last night, please, Lord, go to zone. And Coach K, like, started coaching. When he went to zone and I started seeing Texas Tech settle for threes, I'm like, oh, you're giving us a gift. You're settling for threes. And that's when Duke was able to take over the game. Look, big shout-out to Arkansas. I mean, since Nola Richardson, you know, Eric Musselman has these guys back, we have to see them in the Elite Eight. But, man, like, the confidence level that I have for my team, I'm always going to show up for them, right, Key? Same way you show up for USC. But it was kind of like a fake showing of the chest. I was like, yeah, I have to say this is Coach K's last. I believe it now. I believe it. It's real.
Duke will play Arkansas, Jay. As you mentioned, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So they're going to play Arkansas because Arkansas beat Gonzaga every year. Gonzaga is supposed to do something. And by the way, I'm the guy who's going to stand up for them. I think they do. They win games in the tournament, just not enough of them. What happened to Gonzaga, Jay?
Chet Holmgren got into foul trouble, and Arkansas took it right to them. I got to tell you, man, Coach Musselman, as much as people say, you know, he didn't pan out in the NBA, this dude is a coaching genius. I mean, the sets they were running last night offensively, defensively, the way they were making Gonzaga play faster, the physicality in which they play, Arkansas is the real deal. And Key, I know we're going to get in this today about Gonzaga, man. I want them to get over the hump. Like, I love Mark Few. I love what they do. People are going to use the fact that they play in the West Coast Conference and they always have a dominant record and they can never get over. It's still hard to win the amount of games he wins each and every year. But, damn, it just feels like they can't get over the hump, man. They can't.
There's no question that you're going to hear people get over all over the coach. Why wouldn't they? Every single year, and especially since I've been working with you, Jay, the first thing I ask you is, why Mark Few and Gonzaga? What's up with that? Oh, man, they're good. Yeah, oh, they're the number one seed, man. They roll. They got NBA guys. They got number one classes. Every damn year, though. Like, literally, every year. And I hear you, Max. Oh, they win a game or two in the tournament. They go all the way to Elite Eights. And no, it doesn't matter. They still have not been able to finish the deal.
No question.
At some point, enough's enough.
But Key, they were just in the national championship game last year. They were just
You see what this is? This is an L.
Hold that. Hold that
they
L.
They took ahead, an L. It doesn't matter. They took an L. Still, to
don't
this day,
think...
Seth Greenberg was on with us last year. Oh, Key, you know, it's gonna basketball, they're great. They lost. Seth was on with us the other day. Who's going to get upset? Well, not your Zags. They're going to be rolling. Guess what, man? They're at home with Arizona now.
Man, I think of coaches, and this guy it really applies to in Mark Few's case, who become a victim of the expectations that they create, right? They take something from nothing. They make it really good. Now people are like, well, take the next step. I'm not saying Mark Few is on the level of some of the guys who've won championships, but he took nothing, made something, and now people expect more, Jay.
That's his job.
Okay, but he does it well.
Max, he is on the level of some of these tremendous coaches. Listen, do you know what people said about Jay Wright before he won two championships? People were crucifying Jay Wright. Oh, he's not on the level. Then all of a sudden he wins two, and it's like he has two, and what other active coach
Jay,
has two more? Only Coach K.
Jay Wright hasn't been the head coach at Villanova for 23 years and hadn't been in the program for 30-plus. Come on now. I understand you want to take it easy, soft landing. I get it. But Mark Few, come on though, man. Like, seriously.
I'm just telling you, Key, Gonzaga used to be a mid-major, man. Like, I never looked at Nova as a mid-major. Like, they are it's like they're part of a Power 5 conference. That's how we talk about Gonzaga now. That's because of Mark Few and his crazy winning percentage.
And if we are talking about them as a blue blood Power 5, whatever you want to call it.
They should
act like that and finish like that. And they haven't. Villanova has a history way back to Raleigh Massimino, long time ago. They have a history. Gonzaga's history is with Mark Few. And guess what? They just like everybody else at home. I'm just saying, all I'm doing is pointing out that every single year, and I should have bet on them. Why didn't you tell me, Jay? I should have bet on Gonzaga to lose.
To lose, yeah. I mean, it was, man, it was 9.5 for them last night, man. It was bad. I'm telling you, Arkansas took it. You talk about punching somebody in the mouth, Arkansas punched Gonzaga in the mouth.
Absolutely.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All right. Know what? Should throw this open to the callers,
go
guys.
Go, Duke. Go, Duke.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776.
Hey.
Does Mark Few need to win a national title? Does he need to win the national championship just to get Key off him? You know, Sweet 16 ain't enough. National title appearance ain't enough. Plus, Jay fell asleep somewhere last night, I guess, he was not proud of.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Pa- Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, guys, this is one of those, like, I don't know if you call it like a factoid or something, and I don't know where it goes, but we just got to talk about it. I got to talk about it. This blew my mind. So the Tampa Bay Bucks, remember I was flipping out? Wait, you got Shaq Mason for a fifth-round pick to replace Marpet, right? So he's a good offensive guard, offensive lineman. And Shaq Mason, it turns out, born in 1993, is his full name is Shaquille Olajuwon Mason, named for Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon. Shaquille Olajuwon Mason, Shaq Mason. Okay, he has a new teammate now, right? Bucks pass rusher Shaq Barrett. There's another Shaq on the other side of the ball. He was born in 92, the year before. Shaquille Hakeem Barrett. Named after Shaq and Olajuwon, Hakeem Olajuwon. Oh, for the first half of Hakeem's pro career, I'd say more or less to my recollection, everyone called him Hakeem until it was made clear, no, it's Hakeem. So what are the – that blows my mind. Two dudes named after the same two guys in order on the same team? So I don't know what to say about it. It just blows my mind.
No, yeah, it does. But the only thing is there – the names sound the same and whatever. The spelling's a little bit different on them. Other than that, it's weird, right? But if you go through, I'm sure if we go through a laundry list of professional athletes and years that they were born and when those athletes were at the height of their careers, we gonna find all type of names, especially in our community. We do that all the time, right, Jay?
Come on, kid, killing me. I know there's some Keyshawn Jays out there. I know there's some Keyshawn. Oh, if you're a Keyshawn Jay, call into the show. Or Jay Keyshawn, call into the show.
We had Keyshawn Davis on this show, a hell of a prospect with Top Rank. Real, real good fighter. Clearly, he even said named after Keyshawn. Keyshawn Johnson.
Just in general, though, that's part of it. I mean, you're going to get your Tigers, your Kobes.
In a row, guys. Shaquille Hakeem. Shaquille Olajuwon and Shaquille Hakeem. It's the same two centers in order.
Are you sure it wasn't Hakeem from Coming to America? Are you sure?
And the beauty about it is they're on the
trash.
Same team
now. Think of Hakeem. What's that?
The beauty of it is they're on the same team now. I wonder how that locker room is going to prank
on either
on them.
On either side of the ball. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that conversation goes anywhere. It just blew my mind.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh, I hear why Yates is playing that beat right now. But anyway, who's playing it? Evan?
Not Yates.
Who is it?
Yates is off today.
Yates isn't on. Yeah, Yates is off on Fridays. You know this, Max.
So who's? Oh, right, it's Friday. Who's playing the beat?
It's Cam. Just a little.
It's Cam, man.
Well, okay. He selected it. Think about the lyrics of the song. Anyway, Jay, You fell asleep. The reason I bring that up is you fell asleep where on Thursday?
So I was on my way to – I got to the airport. And, you know, Key, I got there. My flight got delayed. So I'm like, man, I'm tired as hell. Been up since 2:30 in the morning. This, I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and get this massage. You know, like one of those massage joints where they come in and, you know, it says be relaxed. So – I sit down in the chair. First off, when you sit down.
No, I don't know that. Key. Go ahead and explain to me.
At the airport, Jay. Come on.
You never done a massage? Yeah, well, I was tired. So what? Leave me alone.
You got to put your face down in that thing.
That's what I'm saying.
At the airport in a pandemic? Hell no.
Pandemic so at the airport.
Nasty.
So wait. I know. I can't. I couldn't help it. So the lady, first off, I get down in the chair. And I'm like, do you have any protective covering around, like the smelly, nasty old leather strap around the face part? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, we don't. I was like, I know. So I tried to put my shirt over it, but then I couldn't breathe. So I was like, man, I'll just do it. And next thing you know, Lord, I woke up. Key was like 20 minutes later. I had drool all on the side of my mouth, all on the leather. My mouth just. And I text Evan, I'm like, damn, this is so relaxing, but it's so nasty. What's wrong with me?
You think you're the only one who ever fell asleep about and drooled?
Hey, Max, I was just about to say, do you think you're the only one that's ever drooled on those cushions?
I'm with you, Keith.
Come on.
No.
I'm going to get sick. I'm sneezing now. Look, that's how it happens.
What, by the way, even as he said it, Key, he was scratching himself and stuff. He's like, I fell asleep, and he's scratching his
face. You better be glad they didn't raid the place.
It wasn't one of those. Shut up.
You're saying it was at the airport, right? Right, Jack? Like waiting for your flight
fool,
type
man.
Stuff?
You are a fool, yes. Yo, I can't with Keith, man. Did you even hear what he said, Max?
I did.
Can't with
you. I heard it.
You know, Max ain't trying to get fired.
No. Keith, take it right to that point all the time, right there.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Let's all calm down. So what is the most disgusting place you've ever fallen asleep, Key? Jay just came right out with it, and that was like yesterday.
A disgusting, probably a bar.
Yeah. What, just on the bar counter?
On the bar counter. One of them.
The bar counter?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one.
No. You can't just say yeah. Now you have to tell me that story. Like you are a big, you're 6'4", man. You ain't no little dude sleeping on the bar counter.
No, you tired, and then you consuming alcohol, and then all of a sudden you consuming more alcohol. You tired, and you trying to hang, and then all of a sudden you find yourself just, bam, and you sleep to the point where you wake up, and you're like, you know what, man, I got to get up out of here.
You're not talking about you're stretched out on the bar counter. Your head is slumped on it.
One of these. Jay.
Jay's acting like you got the hat on with a little ball at the end and the pajamas and you're laying out.
I can top that for you then, because on New Year's one year I was in college and my buddy and I went to a party in New York City and it was open bar for like the first 2 hours. So and we paid $100 to get in. So like at the time I'm in college, I'm like, man, I'm gonna drink, you know, get it worth my while. And I drank a ton in the first 2 hours. I ended up passing out on the nice. I ended up passing out on the kitchen floor of this bar downstairs on some
nasty cardboard
boxes.
That's nasty.
It was gross. I told my wife that story last night after Jay told me this. She says, you know, I wish I would have known that before I married you.
Here's a question for all of you. You ever have to go so bad, you're at a bar, whatever, pitchers of beer, whatever, you have to go so bad that when you finally get into the bathroom, you lean your head against the wall, you know, and you're not fully conscious for the whole process, right? That's probably, if you want to say technically, most disgusting place I've ever fallen asleep, head against the wall while making myself more comfortable.
Oh, I done been there. Oh, yeah. Max, I done been there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, in my younger days and stuff. Oh, yeah, I done.
Max, is that where you put that? Places. You put the left-hand key against the, you know, left hand against the wall on the lean?
it could take a couple minutes now if you wait too long.
That's so gross, though, because I was, oh, man.
You think the pandemic
that was nasty. nasty.
You guys think the pandemic made people? I've always been this way, like germ conscious. I don't like if I'm on an airplane, I get the cocktail napkin to open the bathroom door. I don't want to touch surfaces like that.
Oh yeah.
But the pandemic, yeah. I think, has people. I even hated shaking hands. Just give a fist bump or just nod or whatever. Yeah. I think the pandemic has people more conscious of that now.
It certainly has me super more conscious because I like freak out when. Like, don't come in my house with no shoes on. Right. Leave the shoes at the front door, man. I don't care if you're visiting or not. Take them off. I got a big old sign. I'll take a picture when I get home and show you the sign. Shoes off before entering because it's just gross. And when I went to a restaurant to lunch the other day, and just Max mentioned it, and so I got to, you know, I got to do my deal at the urinal, and I happen to look down. In front of the urinal and all the splatter, I was just like, my shoes, I was just gross.
And people walk right, and in New York City, think of what's on the street, and people walk all over the place, then walk right into your house with those same shoes.
No, take off your damn shoes.
Key, I thought about you yesterday on the plane, no lie, because I was sitting up there in my seat, and a woman walked to the bathroom on the plane with no shoes or socks on. I was like, I know you told me a story about it, Key. I will not. That's your story to tell one day.
No, I can't
do that.
No, I was on the plane once upon a time, and I'll tell it. And I was riding. This was years ago, and Britney Spears was on my plane. And Britney Spears got up, and I happened to look because it was Britney Spears. So I wanted to look. She walked to the restroom, Max. No shoes on.
Oh, come on, Britney.
Zero. No. I was like,
I'm off it.
No. By the way, you know what you got to do for people saying, yeah, you got to invest in a nice pair of slippers for when you're at home. I got a nice pair of slippers. I wear those slippers all over the house.
All the time. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Yeah, we usually take the ones from the resorts and the hotels and bring them home.
Why are you stealing stuff from the resorts, man?
Just get a pair of Uggs or something. You wear them for about a year, throw them out, get a new one. Hey, Marcus in D.C. wants to get in on it, guys. Marcus in D.C. got a grossest place he's falling asleep call. What you got, Marcus?
Hey, guys. Good morning to Letter Show. All right, so I want to tell the story about, like, the time I was in the bar. I was in Philly. I fell asleep, like, on a trough. It was literally a trough, like, horses eat out of. It was a trough, and I don't know how many people like peed in there. I grew up in there, and like my face fell down in there, my hands touched down, and I was just out of control. It was on the back thought, it was like the most disgusting thing, but in the moment, I mean, it was
I'll tell you what, even listening to that, I feel like I could catch something.
Jay, were you
snoring? You know, people walk by him with the phone out, just taking pictures, don't wake you up. I'm like, come on, man, help a brother out.
Jay, you think you were snoring?
Oh, I was 1,000. I was knocked out. Key, you have those naps where you wake up, you say, what the hell? Where am I? Like, that's what kind of nap it was for me.
The other day that happened to me on my way to work. I mean, I went home, I went to sleep, and it felt like I was asleep through the next day. I jumped up thinking I was late to work. And it was like 2 o'clock.
So can we talk a little bit about sports? I think we should. What do you guys think? Let's take you want to take a vote on it. Talk a little sports.
Why not? An entire
division improved in the NFL, except for one team. So here's the question: will they finish last? This is not a coach that is used to finishing last. Let's put it that way.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Chase. I'm in New York at the Seaport today. Key in L.A. Jay in Chicago, we got you covered. East, west, middle of the country, wherever you are, like a blanket. Dolphins added Tyreek Hill, guys, and every team in the AFC East has improved on paper at this moment pre-draft, except the New England Patriots. Let's bring in Mike Reese to find out why. On the scene, Mike Reese on the scene, as always. What's up, Mike? Why are the Patriots so quiet, Mike?
Well, Max and Jay, let me just ask you a question. Do you guys ever wake up and say to yourselves, I don't want to let Keyshawn down? Like, that was my thought today. I'm like, I'm coming out to the stadium. I know he loves to see me at the stadium. It's 6:30 here. The sun isn't up yet, and I'm out here for Keyshawn. So now, to answer your question, Max, what's going on with the Patriots? Not a lot. They're sort of going with this philosophy of they were very busy in free agency last year, and they like what they did in free agency last year. So they're looking internally and saying, what can we do to get more out of some of the guys that we signed last year, like a Jonnu Smith, who, you know, they paid a lot of money to last year, and he didn't give them a lot of production last season. So that's the first thought for the Patriots, and try to build around what they signed last year.
You know, Mike, as I look at the Patriots, it takes me back to the early days of Bill Belichick. Familiarity, getting guys like Otis Smith to come back with him, getting guys like Anthony Pleasant, Roman Pfeiffer, guys that he knew. Now all of a sudden he brings in Devin McCourty, right? He signs Matthew Slater back, Trent Brown. That familiarity of the old Patriot way seems to be back in store again.
So, Keyshawn, you're right on the money, as usual, and here's the key, the way they're looking at it here with the Patriots. Those are culture guys. They know the way things work, but they have to complement that with better drafting, right? And last year, you get Mac Jones in the first round. You get Christian Barmore, defensive tackle out of Alabama, in the second round. Ramondre Stevenson, a running back, in the fourth round. That's a good draft for the Patriots. But you look at some of the drafts before last year, and they weren't as good. And so they know they need to attack the draft and build some youth here to complement everything you just mentioned, all those culture guys, the older guys that know the way things work here in Foxborough.
Mike, Mac Jones carry this team and this roster back to the playoffs?
So, well, you get the first to second year jump. It's a big question, right? What's going to have to happen is they're going to need to get more out of Jonnu Smith, the tight end, who they signed 4 years, $50 million last year. Think about all the excitement that people were talking here last year. Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, the two tight end set. Try to get more out of that. Nelson Agholor, they paid a lot of money to last year. 2 years, $22 million, 37 catches last season. Can they get more out of him? So Mac can elevate, but he's going to need some of the pieces around him to elevate. They love the running game with Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Offensive line is a strength of this team. Still need a couple pieces up there, but they're going to need to help Mac a little bit. To ask Mac to do it all himself, that's probably going to be too much, Key.
Mike, is it reasonable to think that the Pats could finish last in the division this year?
Mike, did you – Jay just – it looks like Mike's having some audio issues. Can you hear us, Mike?
I got you, Max. I didn't hear what Jay was asking.
Jay asked,
it might have been something about Duke.
Jet, first of all, Key's 100% right. It looks awesome when you're on the scene. Look, as Mike Reese on the scene as always. But what Jay asked was, is it reasonable to think, based on the moves the rest of the AFC East has made and the fact that the Pats have so far stood still, that there's the danger of them finishing in last place in the division?
So Jay, last place seems like a too far of a fall to me, and I'll sort of default to something I would expect to hear from Bill Belichick next week when we're down at the NFL owners meeting in Florida. Last time I checked, the next game isn't played till September. So there's a lot more time for them to add to the team, the draft. Still time to make moves in free agency, although maybe not with top players, to find pieces that can help them. So it's not unreasonable to think the Patriots can keep improving. To me, it's whether the gap is just too wide to make up given the improvements of some of the other teams in the division and the AFC on the whole.
Mike, is Mac Jones a franchise QB? I mean, seeing all these big-time franchise QBs in the AFC, is Mac Jones that guy for the Pats?
They believe he can be, and I think that's the key to the answer to the question. Like, they feel he's special, and the way he came in last year, and not just on the field with a performance they felt really good about, it was the way he handled himself off the field and the way he built relationships with the oldest players on the roster to the youngest players. And they feel he's a guy that they can build around and win big with. And now it's about putting pieces around him to help him elevate to that level. And if the two things can come together, they feel like they can get back to where they were in the past.
Mike Reese set up. It was pitch black. And now the sun is rising. But is it setting on the Patriots? No, I'm just kidding. Mike, great to see you.
Thanks a lot for hanging out with
us, Mike.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Jay,
Max, as I was hearing Mike break that down about could the Pats finish last in the division, I thought to myself, why am I actually asking this? Aren't the Jets still in the division?
That's yeah, why you're asking.
But the Jets have made some moves. Hey, like the question Jay asked, Key, like, can Mac Jones be a franchise quarterback? You have a whole progression of what's expected in years 1, 2, 3, whatever. I remember when I was a kid, Key, rookie quarterbacks stunk. I can't say the word that I want to say. They stunk. They were no good. By the standards of back then, Mac Jones looked pretty good to me as a rookie. What, like, can he be a franchise quarterback? What does he have to show you in year two?
Well, he is their franchise quarterback, as Mike astutely pointed out. I think when you look at the quarterback position for the New England Patriots, just think young Tom Brady. And I'm not talking about Super Bowl 7 win Tom Brady, 10 appearance Tom Brady. I'm talking about early stages Tom Brady, year 1, 2, 3, when the defense played a certain way and they continued to let him develop at the quarterback position. Because those early Super Bowls, let's be honest, was not Tom Brady. It was the Willie McGinnises, the Teddy Bruschis, the Tyler, the Lawyer Malloys, the Ty Laws, the Ted Johnsons. Those were the guys that anchored that football team to victory in those Super Bowls. Then eventually, they took the training wheels off Tom Brady, and it was all about Terrific Tom. And I think that is the same recipe that they're trying to go with Mac Jones. Now, his may speed up a little bit more. We've had Charlie Weiss on with us before, who was the offensive coordinator with those Tom Brady teams. And he once said to us that Mac Jones is a little ahead of where Tommy was at this stage of his career. So I think he can be the franchise quarterback for them because they like what they see.
Key, you know, thinking about this yesterday, I obviously don't have him in the upper tier of other quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, he can be the franchise quarterback, but he'll be a mid-tier franchise quarterback. And the fact that him combined with Belichick, with Bill Belichick, like, that's enough, right? Like, for me, mid-tier quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, who is sharp at the line of scrimmage, who can make people better, who's a good leader, that combined with the way Belichick is a coach, his mind works, that will be enough for them. But I don't see him being in this next upper echelon of the Justin Herberts or the Patrick Mahomes.
Jay,
he's not that guy to me.
What I would say, Jay and Max, you didn't see Tom Brady being the greatest quarterback of all times in his second career in the National Football League either. And I'm not saying that Mac Jones will turn out to be Tom Brady. But at the same time, you got to let it develop to a point where it looks a little bit different. Year one, I'm not asking Max. I'm not asking you to do anything, right? Even though Mac Jones completed 68% of his passes for close to 4,000 yards. The second year, I need you to do a little bit more for me. The third year, I need you to be a Pro Bowl type quarterback. Maybe you don't get in, but your foot is in the door. That fourth year, I need to make that decision on long-term extending you, and that'll tell me a lot.
And so far, based on that chart, Key, Mac Jones is ahead of the curve.
Yes.
First year, he's where you might want a guy to be in his second year. And
yes.
Look, Jay, I would say this. Tom Brady is such an outlier. Not only is he a best case scenario, he's beyond that, right? So
but,
I get
but,
that.
But see, Max, yes. We're only talking about early Tom Brady, though.
No, but
we're
early
not talking about late Tom Brady.
No, I know, I get it. What I'm saying is his development was so perfect. Like, it's the best case scenario for what you're talking about. But Jay, I would say one thing about Tom Brady is he gave you the feeling, or like Tom Brady early on got more credit than he deserved, right? He gave you a feeling like that's the dude I want. Even Key, when his team was carrying him, does Mac Jones give you that feeling, Jay? Is Mac Jones the guy you want?
No, he doesn't give me the same feeling Tom Brady gives me. And I know, I think we're making a huge mistake by comparing him, Key, just because Tom Brady was there. Right, it's like these natural comparisons that people start to draw about where he was in this process of his development. And I think that just automatically sets him up for failure because he's not going to be Tom Brady.
No,
like,
but
Tom Brady is one of – I know,
no,
but I know you guys are comparing it to the development process of it, Key, but he's not – Tom Brady's one
process,
of one, man.
But it's the development process. See, what happens is we think about Tom Brady – Giselle Tom Brady. We don't think about Tom Brady looking for a girlfriend early on. We don't think about that. We think about Tom Brady, fourth Super Bowl, fifth Super Bowl, sixth Super Bowl, seventh Super Bowl. We're not, don't think that. Think early Tom Brady.
Remember early Tom Brady, Key? Early Tom Brady in the comparisons to Peyton. Everyone's like, well, Peyton's better, but Brady's lucky. But after a while,
compare it to that.
Right, but
compare it to Adam Vinatieri kicking game-winning field goals compared to that.
No doubt. And early on in his career, it felt like something good always happens for that guy, right? But they built on that until it became ridiculous. And I think Jay's point, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, is that's such a perfect outcome. You can't hope for that with a dude like Mac Jones. You can hope to follow a similar trend, but the ceiling on it probably isn't what Tom Brady's was, which seemed limitless,
and Key,
right?
And Key, I would ask you, according to your chart that you have about where the development of the quarterback is, like, would you bet a lot of money on the fact that Mac Jones will be a Pro Bowler in his third year?
He a Pro Bowler now, Jay. He went to the Pro Bowl.
He went
Bowl
to the Pro
year.
Bowl. It's true.
I mean, well, yeah, I know.
Hey, Jay.
Got me on that one. Got me.
But point taken. Point taken. He was not one of the three best quarterbacks in the AFC.
No,
of course.
Thank you. That's what. Look, thank you.
I get it. But I want you to really use your Duke brain and just understand what I'm saying right here. It's just let him develop. He's not going to ever be Tom Brady. Tom Brady is one of one. No question about it. But the same blueprint that they use for Tom Brady, they're using for Mac Jones.
What is your best guess, Key, what Mac Jones's ceiling is based on I think more of Mac Jones, I think, than you guys do, because I thought he was very impressive as a rookie. But what's his ceiling, do you think?
I think his ceiling for me is several Pro Bowls, as long as Bill Belichick is there, maybe one or two Super Bowls, and after that, I don't know. That's what it is for me. As long as Bill Belichick is there, he has a fighting chance. There is no question about it.
You know, it's Bill Belichick has yet to come close to challenging for a Super Bowl as a head coach without Tom Brady. Hasn't been very long.
Oh, God, if you don't stop, Max.
Well, but it hasn't been very long. But I'll just point something out. Greg Popovich is one of the greatest teams of all coaches of all time. And when he had Tim Duncan, right, like great coaches have their extension of themselves on the floor as the captain of the team. When he had Duncan, he won 5 chips. No one's going to say Popovich is not a great coach, but the fact is, I'm just stating a fact, he's never won a championship in the NBA without Tim Duncan. Belichick, it's been very short time, hasn't done it without Brady. It doesn't mean he can't succeed, but we're throwing Super Bowls around, as you said, like giving out candy. It ain't so easy, right? Even for Belichick, if you don't have the right guy. Is Jones the right guy?
I think Mac Jones, for what they want to do, is the right guy. You got to remember, the New England Patriots, I believe, finished second in the NFL in defense, okay? They are a defensive unit led by a running game on the offensive side and a quarterback that they're asking not to make any mistakes. They're going to eventually unleash him to a degree where he's going to start to make some mistakes, and they'll correct them, and he'll get better and better and better and better. That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, again, if the guy – what do you think of his arm? Because, like, to me, the thing that Tom Brady always had, which is why it turned out best-case scenario, all the intangibles, intelligence you couldn't even predict, all the leadership in that, he could always make all the throws, right? He had a good, strong arm.
Yeah, but see, here's what I'm going to say again, Max, trust me on this, baby. You keep saying he always had, he had. Not early on. Early on, his first 3 years in the league as a starter, he was just a guy.
I'm with you. I agree. But
you can say the same thing for Mac Jones. Mac Jones is smart. He knows where to go with the football. Mac Jones is intelligent. He played for Nick Saban, so he's already trained in the mind what to expect. We can do all of that. The key for him is, when he gets to year 4 and 5, what will he be? I know what he's going to be in 2 and 3.
But my question is this for you, Key. My question is this for you. I hear everything you're saying, and I'm with you. I'm agree with you. That was my perception at the time, the whole thing. Even Brady gave you a good feeling and everything. How much of that is Belichick? When I say his arm, I don't mean he was the most accurate, biggest arm guy that I'd ever seen. But that, when I looked at his arm, I'm like, yup, that young kid has a good, strong arm, right? He can make the throws. Do you see that in Mac Jones?
Mac Jones has a funky delivery, a launch point, so it looks a little weird. But I think he has a strong enough arm to get it done. I mean, we'll see this year, right? I mean, we didn't see it against Buffalo the first or the second time. The first time, obviously, because of the weather. The second time, they just got after him.
Yeah.
It just feels like if you're betting on the Pats, you're betting on Belichick more than you're betting on Mac. Right?
7,000%.
That's what you're betting on.
7,000%.
Is there a chance Mac Jones could become a great quarterback, Key? Could he become a great quarterback?
What's great, Max?
Yeah,
what's
I was
great?
About to say, what's great,
okay,
Max?
Well, I would say a great quarterback. Forget about Pro Bowls and all that. To me, if you can captain your offense, like lead your team to the playoffs most years and regular playoff runs, meaning at least one win, you challenge in the second game, maybe two wins. If you do that pretty consistently.
Okay, here's one for you. Can he be Phillip Rivers?
Sure. Phillip Rivers. Yeah. I think Phillip Rivers was the only thing.
Phillip Rivers?
The only argument against Phillip Rivers' greatness is he didn't get it done deep in the playoffs, right?
Well, no, you said challenge, right?
Yeah,
challenge,
absolutely.
Division,
I consider him
division,
a he's
playoff here. There. Yes, he could be Phillip Rivers.
Wow, that's great.
But I do wonder how we'll start talking about him this year, seeing how the other quarterbacks in this conference are so dynamic and how they can play. Like, and I know he's part of the system, the Belichick system, Key. But, you know, when he was coming out in the draft, we were talking about his ability not to be able to get out of the pocket, right? You said slug, like mud boots, whatever your terminology was. And I just wonder how we'll start comparing that. Mud boots, gravy boots, same thing. It's like how we'll start comparing that when we see how dynamic other quarterbacks are.
Well, I think it's going to all come down to wins and losses, right? Is he on a winning team or is he on a losing team? And if he continues to keep winning, then we're going to be like, oh, okay, cool. They did go to the playoffs in his rookie year. Now, he didn't screw it up enough for them not to make it to the playoffs.
I'm thinking about quarterbacks who win Super Bowls. It's true, there are dynamic quarterbacks who get there. But quarterbacks who win Super Bowls, and maybe it's skewed by Brady, are not always the most dynamic guys. Nick Foles, pocket-type guy, needs a clean pocket. Matt Ryan, who challenged in that Super Bowl. Tom Brady, obviously. Matt Stafford.
Yep.
These are not, you know, the most dynamic, all super threat in every way quarterbacks. So a team who reset expectations is now being punished for it. Why is that? That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.